So in the summers before I graduated college 20-some years ago, I made pizza for the mafia. And by made pizza, I mean made pizza, like sauce and cheese and dough, like real, real pizza. I can't say for sure if they were the real mafia, but for us summer workers who worked there, we certainly thought they were, because they did nothing to dissuade us from thinking so, with their references to Nicky Scarfo from South Philly and, you know, rumors of a picture of them and Nicky Scarfo. You hear Nicky Scarfo at the South Jersey Shore in a town which will remain nameless in case they are the real mafia. You start to think maybe these guys are mobbed up. And by these guys, I'm talking about six people, but only three names. There are two Nicks, two Tonys, and two Jims. And they came in every Monday morning, which was why we cleverly called them the Monday Morning Mafia. Others called them the Make-Believe Mafia. But they came in every Monday morning around 10:30 after I had opened up. I was the morning, the daytime manager, so I would open up around 10:30. And without fail, they would start filtering in, get their coffees, and sit in these two booths farthest from the pizza counter. And the first to arrive were always the least important, which was Tony and Tony, which Tony with a Y, Tony with an I. They were a husband and wife. And you could smell them coming a block away. He was like all cigars and cologne, and she was like these Virginia Slims and perfume. And they would come in, they'd get their coffee, and they'd sit down in one booth, and she'd light her cigarette and put it in the little red ashtray in the booth and just let it sit and burn until the ash was as long as her, like, inch-long red fingernails, and just start a barrage of complaints that Tony was behind his blue blocker sunglasses would just sort of sit there. And, you know, we always joked that he was the cement shoemaker. And so then Nick and Nick would come in. It was Big Nick and Nicky, and they were sort of right out of the Godfather casting. You know, Big Nick was very debonair, white hair. Nicky was a little bit like, you know, more, he was younger. They were cousins, but they called each other brothers. You couldn't quite tell what they were. And they were sort of the money behind the pizzeria and the bar next door and the two liquor stores and the hotel. And then Jim and Jimmy were sort of out of the Goodfellas casting. And Jim was my immediate boss. He ran the pizzeria. And then Jimmy was his silent partner, which I never knew what that meant. And he was more out of sort of like 1930s Jimmy Cagney, slick back hair, pencil thin mustache, biceps as big as my head, you know, that kind of guy. And he ran everything else. So the point of my story is I was their manager, and Jim was like sort of a father figure to me, a guy who hired me when I was like 13. I worked there every summer. And he really was sort of like a father figure, so I didn't feel like I was not safe or anything. But, you know, he made me a manager at a pretty young age, and I had convinced him to hire my best friend, John, to work on the grill. And so this morning, it just happened to be the morning that John was working there, and John was in the walk-in freezer, you know, nursing a hangover, trying to cure himself with cold weather, or cold, you know, cold air. And, you know, we both were working both to save money for college, but also to pay for beer money, really, for the summer. And so on this particular day, something happened that never happened before. Big Nick walks over to the counter. It was about this high, and the pizza counter, and I'm the pizza maker. And he says, "Hey, Dougie Fresh, I want a cheesesteak hoagie," that means lettuce and tomatoes, "with extra cheese." And I'm like, "Mayonnaise or ketchup?" He's like, "Ketchup." They all called me Dougie Fresh, too. That was the other weird thing. Like, so I'll go, "Hey, Dougie Fresh, how you doing? How you doing, Dougie Fresh?" And so he walked back, and I'm like, "Oh, Christ, got to make Big Nick a cheesesteak." So I'm like, I'm going to do it myself. And I just turned the ovens on and the grill. I went back to make sure that the grill was on. And then at the same time, the phone rings, and we get an order from the state police barracks offshore for, like, 10 pizzas. So then I'm like, "Oh, and I got to do that. I mean, that's my job, and I can't interrupt Jim and them. They're all sitting over there with their receipts and pencils and writing things down." And, you know, Tony's sitting there, you know, just going on about things. So I go into the walk-in freezer, and I'm like, "John, you got to make a cheesesteak. It's for Big Nick. It's very important. You can't mess this up." And John's like, you know, with his head down between, like, boxes of lettuce and other things, and he like looks up to me and he's got like his flipped up collar and his flipped back hair. And he's like, you know, I got a 1300 on the SATs. I think I can handle a cheesesteak. And I'm like, all right, well, look, it's for Big Nick. You can't screw it up. Please make it. It's cheesesteak, hoagie, extra cheese, lettuce and tomato with ketchup. So I get to working on my pizzas, you know, 10 pizzas, two ovens, typically can only fit four and four. But I'm, you know, I know how to make it because I'm a real good pizza maker. I know how to put five in there. I can slide the middle one right in. And so I get to work on that. And I don't even see what happens. But apparently the cheesesteak went out. I didn't have a chance to look at it. And, you know, I just didn't know it was out. So I'm like making my next pizza, you know. And I see it. And it's still in my mind's eye from today. I still see it in slow motion. Big Nick's walking toward me, you know, like some sort of mafioso whistling, you know, behind him from the Godfather, like, whatever. And I'm like, and he comes over and he like puts it down. And he's like, disgusting. And he turns around and he walks away. And I'm like, oh my God. And I look up at the cheesesteak and it's just burnt to a crisp. And he had tried to hide it under like the lettuce and the tomatoes. And it's like black. And I was like, oh my God. And then I see Jimmy stands up and he gives me one of these. In my office. Now, his office, like the Fonz, was the bathroom in the restaurant. So I go into his office, which is, it used to be the girls' bathroom. Now it's converted. It's got a desk and a sink. And I go in there, and he's like, I was a little taller than he was. He looks up at me, but he's really big. And he pokes me, and he's like, you brought him in. You take him out. I'm like, what do you mean, take him out? I'm like, whoa. So he's like, you gotta fire him. I was like, oh, okay, I could do that. So I go in the back and it's like, fine. It's like, John, what did you do? You burnt Big Nick's cheesesteak. Ah, screw him. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, John, you're fired. You know, you gotta go. He's like, what? He's like, yeah, you know, Jimmy just asked me to fire you. He goes, fire me? He can't fire me. I quit. And he walks out, and he's like, I quit this stupid place, you know, and he says some things that are like referencing their mafioso ties, and I'm like, oh, my God. And Jimmy's like, you're banned from the compound, you know. You're not allowed in the liquor store. You're not allowed in the bar. Meanwhile, we're underage. We shouldn't be allowed in there anyway. You know, like 20 years old. We've been going to the bar since we were 16. And so Audi leaves, and I go back. I go back to the pizza's place, and I go back to the counter, and Jim has come out to help with the pizzas that are in need of not burning and finishing. And then he makes a reference to, he says to me, he's like, how the hell did you let that happen? I'm like, I had the pizzas, you know, and John was back there. I just thought he could handle it. He's like, that idiot turned up the grill really high. I'm like, I had done that. And that's my story.